Tzayin Pasik Kol Pol Hashem L'maneu Gam Rosho L'yoim Ro. We already did the Mitzudos and the Rashi, so we'll just go to the Midrashim. Pasik simply means that everything that Hashem has done in this world, Kol, everything Pol Hashem that Hashem has done, L'maneu, is for His honor. Rashi really told us two interpretations. One means Kilus. The word L'maneu means to give praise. Everything that Hashem has done in this world was for the purpose of giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, sure. Please sit down. Shalom Aleichem. The Gam Roshel, on the second interpretation Rashi has given us of L'maneu, means Eidos, that every single object in this world, every single object that has been created itself will praise Hashem, will testify to Hashem that Hashem is its creator. Now, we discussed last week one very important medrash, and that is halachic, that is nogei halacha l'maisa, that when you have a situation in halacha where fulfilling the halacha leads to a bizoyon, leads to a disgrace, then you are built into the mitzvah is the heter, the permissibility for a person also to do other related melachos, so that a mitzvah should not result in a disgrace to Hashem. And the example that we gave that was given in the Gemara, just one example is a carbon, when the carbon Pesach is slaughtered on Erev Shabbos Shechal Yois BePesach. Erev Shabbos Shechal Yois BePesach, you are allowed to shech, to slaughter the carbon Pesach. There are more carbons over there. But the carbon Pesach is not actually eaten until Motzoi Shabbos. So the problem is that the Pesach has to be slaughtered after Chatzos, and it's going to remain hanging in a state of disgrace until Motzoi Shabbos. We have a problem because there is it's considered halacha kodshim, that's mutol bibizoya, and to remove the skin from the meat of the animal is a malacha deraisa of hefshet. One of the lama test malachas is removing the skin from.
So
one of the malachos is hefshes is moving the skin from the meat. Removing the skin from meat is a malacha. The Torah does not explicitly allow the permission for us to remove the skin from the meat of the animal. Yet, this is what the Gemara is very Rebbe Chiddush, based upon this principle, that every single mitzvah must result in an honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're going to do a mitzvah, and the result is there will be a bezoyon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's called kadoshim, that's mutl bebezoyon, if it's going to result in the bezoyon, then there's a problem. Therefore, the fact that Torah allows you to proceed and do the shechita on Shabbos, built into the heter of doing shechita will also be the heter of removing the skin from the animal. So it should not be a case of a disgrace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will be in violation of this principle of kol poal Hashem l'maneu. Okay, that's a very, very powerful concept, because you can take that, you can apply it across the board. Anytime a person does a mitzvah in this world, you have to make sure that the mitzvah should not result in chil shemayim. Of course, doing a mitzvah, you have to be embarrassed to a mitzvah, but there are many different ways to do a mitzvah. And if the performance of the mitzvah is going to result in a disgrace of Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we know that we're not doing the mitzvah the proper way, because of this pasuk kol poal Hashem l'maneu. Okay, now there's another couple of very interesting midrash. There's a famous story with the people of the Beis Avtinos. There was a family in the Beis Hamidrash of Kohanim that were in charge of making the Ketores. And there was another group of people in Beis Hamidrash that were in charge of making the Lechem Aponim. And there was a special technique that was employed in the preparation of the Ketores and the Lechem Aponim. There were certain secrets, guarded secrets, that were only known by certain families. And these families, especially the Beis Aptid, these families refused to give away their trademark secrets to other people, to churn other people. And because they did this, Chazal were very disappointed with their behavior. They were fired. They were dismissed from their service. New replacements were hired. New Kohanim were hired to take over for the performance of the preparation of the Ketores and Lechem upon him. But the new people could not replicate the quality of work that was done by their predecessors. So they had a problem. So the Chacham had a dilemma. Chazal, the Rabbanim, they went and they interrogated the original family. And ultimately, they brought them back. They said, "You can come back and do your work, and we're going to allow you to do your work without requiring you to reveal your trademark secrets." And the question, the question is, why? What exactly? Well, more really is the question, why? What exactly happened? What happened before and after that there should be a sudden change? And the answer is, when they interrogated the workers as to the Kohanim, why they don't want to give away their trademark secrets, they revealed that they knew they had a tradition that the Beis HaMikdash would not last forever. The Beis HaMikdash would one day be destroyed, and people who knew how to make the Lechem HaPanim and knew how to make the Ketores would use these secrets for mundane purposes. Some would open up a bakery on Avenue M that would sell the highest quality bread. Where do they get the trademark secrets to make such good bread? It came from the Beis HaMikdash. There would be a perfume shop. There would be a special shop where they would sell perfume, and they would produce the most delicious fragrances. Where did they learn how to do this for mundane purposes? From the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohanim applied the pasuk, "Call Poal Hashem Lemanu." Everything Hashem created in this world must result in an honor, in a kavod only, exclusively for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, it's not right that these secrets should be abused and used by the world for mundane purposes. So this Gemara really is revealing to us an entirely new interpretation of Kol Pol Hashem L'maneu, and that is that there has to be something in this world that is reserved only for Hashem. We would think, if not for this pasuk, not for this Gemara, piece of Gemara, we would think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, He gave us wonderful things. He gave blessing, bracha, and we can use it for everything. We'll use bracha for ourselves, and we'll also use special gifts Hashem has given us for Hashem's honor. But we have a right to take things, the blessings of this world, and use it also for our personal needs, in addition to using it for Hashem's purposes. The Gemara here reveals that no, there has to be something that's left over in this world, some blessing that Hashem has given to this world that is miyuchet, that is only used in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and human beings do not use for their own purpose. And that's really what the Kohanim revealed to the Chachamim, to the Sanhedrin, that there's a secret of how to make Ketores that can produce an exotic fragrance that no one else knows how to, a special koach in the Ketores. The real Ketores was a mala oshen. It went up in a column, but that it was a certain advantage that they were able to do. And there was a certain koach in the bread, how to make the bread, that the bread would not rot for a whole week. And this gift that Hashem has revealed to us in this world must be given exclusively for Hashem's honor. And they apply the pasuk, "Kol Poal Hashem Lemaneu." Everything that Hashem has done in this world is only for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let me read you the words of the Gemara. It's a very fascinating one. It's a very powerful halacha. Tanu Rabban, this is Yalkut Shmoni. It's also a Gemara. I don't know why it's calling it the Yalkut Shmoni. It's also a Gemara. The Gemara I have here from the Yalkut Shmoni. Based off Tinois Hayu Bikim Bemase Akitores. The base side of this Yoma. Can I have the daf? The base of, do you have the daf there in front of you? What daf?
Lamed Ches.
Okay. They refused to teach other Kohanim the secret of the Ketores. They sent for them. They were fired. They were dismissed. And they imported replacements from Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. They knew how to do the Ketores equivalent to the original Kohanim, but there was only one thing they could not do. They cannot cause the smoke to go up in a column in one continued without dispersing. The original Kohanim, their column of smoke would go up in a perfect column, which was a yoifi. It was a certain beauty that was unique to the original, the Beis Avtinas family. Hashem created for His own sake, as we learned in Rashi Likhiluso, for His praise. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes this pasuk: "Kol Poal Hashem Lemanehu." Everything in this world was created for Hashem's sake, for His honor, and therefore Chazru Lomar, they went and they said, "Yachshu Beis Avtinas Lemukemam," let them come back. They were insulted. The Beis Avtinas family did not want to come back so quickly. Shalchu Lohem Vibo Lebo, so they had to give them an incentive. Kaflu Lohem Secharan Ubahu, they paid them double. Okay, it's a very shocking Gemara. They paid double. Bov kol pol Hashem maneu. Okay, so that's the one. And the interpretation given by the commentators is, I saw this in the Das Seifrim, the Das Chachamim, is because they told that the Gemara really says this is the reason they had a very legitimate excuse. Mr. Bloom, welcome back. I didn't see you were here. I'm getting worried about you. Okay, so we had over here. So the reason why the Gemara gives the explanation again to repeat this very important principle is because the Beis Avtinas family was justified in not revealing the trademark secrets because they did not want it to get into the hands of ordinary people that would abuse and use these secrets for their own personal benefit. And they revealed to the Chacham that when it says in the pasuk, "Kol Pol Hashem L'maneu," everything in this world was created for Hashem's honor. The deeper meaning of that pasuk is there must be something left over in this world that's miyuchad only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have many different types of gold in this world. Could be there's a chazal like this also. It says by the menorah Zov Tahar. So what does that mean, Zov Tahar? There are many types of gold in this world, but the best of the best can only be used for the menorah. There's a prohibition. There is a restriction. You're not allowed to use a certain type of gold for mundane purposes. Every single mile in this world, you have to draw the line and designate the best of the best for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really as a practical application for us in our own lives, that we all have, every person has a different degree of bracha, and a person should take whatever he has that it's the highest degree of bracha and designate it exclusively for a davar of Kodesh. For Shabbos, a person eats a certain type of food, this is delicacy that he only has on rare occasions, it should be off limits. This delicacy is miyuchad only Ach v'rak for Shabbos. What? He put everything away, the best thing for Shabbos.
They put away.
Better. That is based upon this principle, called Kol Hashem L'maneu. Everything in this world was created for Hashem's honor, and that means you ought to have benefit, and you should have benefit, but the best of the best is miyuchid for Hashem's honor.
Bikurim,
the first, those are the first. That's not necessarily a matter of quality. Okay.
Yes, but right. Quality is emphasized.
Okay, I'm right. But here it's emphasizing quality. It's a very interesting idea, and I mean, people definitely appreciate this. You put away the best thing for Shabbos, for Yom Tov. Pesach, you bring out all the nice kelim on Pesach, that's halacha. You put on the table the most expensive kelim you have on Pesach. Designate the best for Shabbos, kol pol Hashem l'maneu. Okay, that's one matter, yeah.
They said the Divrei Chaim.
Yeah.
When he would eat something, once the Divrei Chaim would have something on his tish,
yeah,
on Shabbos, he never removed it. So he used to have many different types of macholim,
yeah,
during his tish in the Kovet Shabbos. Special...
Just for Shabbos.
Yeah. No, but once he had started,
yeah,
he said in the, when he started being a Rebbe, he had only sweet and sour fish. Later he had another kind of fish, because sweet and sour was in order to keep it preserved.
Yeah.
So later on he had other fish when he moved to Sands, where there was more fish around, where he didn't have to worry about preserving it. He would have sweet and sour and regular.
Expanded his menu.
It was all the Kavachamas.
All the Kavachamas. Okay, that is another interesting idea. That we are living in a world where we believe that everything in this world was created for us. Everything Hashem put in this world was all for man. I'm sure there are Mamar Chazal that say this, right? Everything Hashem is all for us. But there's a Medrash here. I saw this in a different set. I don't have the Sefer here. It says this pasuk is teaching that it's not the pshat. And this really it says in there's a Medrash that elaborates upon this, and this can be this is what Perek Shir is all about. That every creature, every object Hashem created in this world is not here just for man. Every object, creature, is here to praise Hashem in its own way, directly, bypassing man. If you're not for this pasuk, you would say, well, let's say Hashem put in this world the frogs, Hashem put in this world the grass, the water. They're all here for man. They're all here purely for the benefit of man, and all of these creatures, objects, are begging man should use them and integrate them into his being, and then praise Hashem and give honor to Hashem. And by giving honor to Hashem, thereby it indirectly elevates all of these elements in creation. There's water. The water is yearning that a human being should drink the water. And when he drinks the water, he'll make a bracha. So he will sanctify the water, and the water will have achieved its function, its purpose in this world. Or if he doesn't make a bracha, at least it'll go into his body, and the person will at least think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or at least they'll have a hearer of tshuva, even a non-Jew. And to some degree, the water is what gave life to a human being, and a human being is the Tzelem Elokim, and the human being thought about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so everything in this world indirectly is enhancing the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through man. That's what I think many people would say is correct. However, this puzzle is not so. Kol Poal Hashem L'maneu. The Bria does not need man. Every object in the Bria itself has its own and its own life form, its own purpose, its own life form, which we do not understand. We don't hear trees talking. We don't hear the water talking. But there's a Perek Shira that was authored traditionally, the tradition by David HaMelech, and each element in creation itself praises Hashem. Lemaneu, as Rashi says, means likiluso. Call every object in creation, poal Hashem. Hashem has created lemaneu, so that object should itself praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, regardless if man is a participant in its service. Perek Shira. Go through every single element of creation. We learn a little bit Perek Shira. It sings praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a very deep idea. Because if not for Perek Shira, and if not for this concept, you would think the purpose of all, we tell men, you were created last. What's the famous Rashi in the beginning of Bereishis? That Adam, why was Adam created? Everything in this world was only created in order to enhance, for you, Adam, for you to use. But if a person does not do his mission, then we say that you are nothing. God doesn't need you. God receives honor from the Bria. The Bria itself gives forth praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you know it? What's the source? This pasuk, kol, everything in by itself, without man, poal Hashem, Hashem has created, lemaneu, so that it should give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
You know, it says, the Maisa with the Elio Baharakar,
yeah.
You have to go to the ox to tell
this is what you were created for. This is what you were created for. Call Paul Hashem Maneo, but that was to man. You see, there in that case, when the ox was slaughtered, either for Avodah Zarah or not Avodah Zarah,
want to be slaughtered
for Avodah Zarah. But it was still a covered Shemayim. But it was still, even though the animal was still of Hashem Avodah Zarah, the result was that human beings would come to realize there is a creator, there's not Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that case is where the animal is serving man in some indirect way. But that's a very powerful chiddush that if man does not fulfill the role of elevating the Bria can say to man, you get lost. We can take care of ourselves. We are on our own. We can praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let me just see if there's anything else that I forgot. Okay, now there is, this is something a little bit bizarre. Okay, there's something very bizarre. Let's read it to you, because I don't think of it like this. It's a Medrash in Tehillim. A Medrash in Tehillim says that there are two things. Now, there are two things that even the Umos Sa'olam acknowledge. Medrash Tehillim Yotes, Perik Yotes, Pasuk Aleph. There are two things, Shnei Devarim. I don't know the depth of this. There's obviously great depth in this medrash, but just let me read you the words. Shnei devarim, ein umos ha'olam koifrim bohem. Even the idolaters, they deep down inside, they acknowledge there are two things that are true. Number one, what do they acknowledge deep down in their hearts? Moedim be'akolish baruch hu shabara es olam b'sheishes yamim. Okay, every guy, deep down, no matter what, no matter how much, no matter to what degree he makes believe he's an atheist, or worse, deep down believes there is a creator who created this world in 6 days. And number two, believe it or not, believes in Techiyas HaMeisim. Shocking statement. These two things, and Sheish Yamim v'Shuhu Mechayi Es HaMeisim. Everything else, okay, they may firmly believe and not believe in all the other principles of faith, but these two animamins they believe in. And the proof is, now this is a little bit bizarre, because the proof to this is because they experiment with the dead. Now, this is just words, but I'm sure there's a lot more depth in this that can be even understood even in today's day and age. And the example the Gemara gives is they try to bring up the dead with kishuf. Oiv v'yidoni. We have no idea what oiv v'yidoni is. And the Gemara there says that oiv v'yidoni does not work, even by the greatest magicians. Oiv v'yidoni does not work on Shabbos. They can talk to the dead, they can bring up the dead 6 days a week, but on Shabbos, no matter what they do, the biggest sorcerers have no success. Those who go to a show, a magician show on Shabbos,
take the day off.
They take the day off. Why? Because Shabbos, these individuals who are involved in the Koichas HaTumah, they recognize that Shabbos is a day off. That it's not just that we are commanded, that the Jewish people are commanded to rest. The Berea does not operate. The Berea is shut down. The post office is closed. The Berea is closed. And the Koichas of Tumah that are necessary for them to perform are not in operation. And that forces them to recognize there's something called Shabbos. And Shabbos represents the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days and he rests on day seven. They come to the realization through this, even through their own Koichas of Tumah, that there's something called Shabbos and there must be a creator. And the second thing is even more fascinating is the Umos HaOlam, these magicians, when they try to bring up the dead, they have no success in bringing back animals. Someone's dog dies, there's nothing they can do to communicate with a dead dog.
What's the dog
what?
Bark anyway.
I don't know, today we see in society people are obsessed with their pets, much more than they are with human beings. You see how much love people invest in their pets, they walk the pets what people do for the dog. Yet you don't find anywhere in any science fiction movie where people are communicating with their dead pet after it goes to the next world. There are plenty of fantasies, science fiction movies of people talking to their dead relatives. Okay? People talk to their dead relatives all the time. Okay, that by the goyim, it's a very big thing. What? The Torah says it's chayav misa for a human, for a person, but the goyim for us it's chayav misa.
No, we know it happens.
Shaul, what about Shaul? Shaul brought back from the dead a Shmuel. So achloikas, did he really do it? Was it just a dream? Debatable. Okay, but al derech pshat, you want to learn psukim on a very simple value. He brought the dead back up. That's what it says in psukim. Okay, you can interpret the psukim as much as you want. Many pashtanim say pshutukim hashmo. He brought the dead back up. He did not. There's such a thing. By the goyim, there is such a thing. There's a koyach of speaking to the dead. We learn the Gemara Masechta the Brachos, the many Gemaras, all of Shas, all different stories speaking to the dead. Shmuel, it's all over Shas. There is such a thing, but never ever do we find anywhere b'chol hatorah kula of a human being communicating with a dead animal. It's an amazing idea. We animals have chachma. There's no question about this. The entire Sefer, as mentioned, Perek Shira. They are complex psukim assigned to different members of the animal kingdom. And these complex psukim reveal to us that these creatures have enormous chokhmah. And they understand the very deep concepts. There are multiple Morei Chazal with the Tzvardeya. The Tzvardeya jumped into the fire. They're all different stories. There are many different stories. We find that animals have intelligence. Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'osayin was given the koyach hadibur. There's intelligence among the animals. The Chazal said elephants, tremendous chachma. A pill is tremendous chachma. Whales, fish, we know for a fact. But when they die, they go somewhere else. There's no such thing as tchias hameisim by animals. The goyim who are involved in these koychay satum. Okay, even though we don't have goyim, don't have this koych today, but I'm sure bizman hazeh there's some type of understanding. There's some type of this concept probably has transferred to science, probably to some degree. In every generation, there is some koyach to deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu and koychay satum, whatever it is. Even the goyim recognize that there is a difference between human beings and animals, and that. According to this Medrash in Tehillim, reveals to them there's something eternal about the neshama, which means the neshama can come back. The neshama lives on, and it's just a matter of bringing the neshama back into a guf, and it can very well be there will be a tchias hameisim when the neshama will be returned into a guf, and the person will come back to life once again. So these are two things which call Paul Hashem Lemanehu. The Medrash ties this in Lemanehu. Means testimony. That was Rashi's second interpretation. Call everything Paul Hashem. Did Hashem create Lemaneu? For that abd, the purpose of that creature is to testify to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that yes, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu exist. And here it means Hashem is Netzchias. The two things which exist, well, the ultimate form of testimony is to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Netzchi, Hashem is beyond our understanding, and the Neshama, the soul of a human being, which is a Chelek, Me'elokai Mimal, is also Netzchi, is also eternal. These two things go hand in hand. And they recognize this not from the Koichos of Kedusha. They recognize this from the koichos of tumah, because even the koichos of tumah prove to them that there must be a ribbono shel olam. The koichos of tumah do not operate on Shabbos; it's beyond all of their rules. It must be there's a creator that shuts down the system on Shabbos, Shabbos Reinafash. And the fact that they cannot communicate with animals, only can communicate with human beings, reveals that there's something spiritual about the soul, which reveals there will be tchias hameisim.
People want to know that they take their pets as dependents.
What?
They're so obsessed with their pets.
Yeah. They want to take them with them to the next world.
Dependents on the tax return.
They want to take as a dependent on the tax return. Okay, they have funerals for animals.
That would be the sentence of the law.
They have, it's a $1 billion industry. Pets. It's good for the country. It's good for business. Okay, then one last chazal. This Gemara Masechta the Shabbos, and call Paul Hashem Lanev. Everything Hashem created was for his honor. Chazal learned from this pasuk the need of personal hygiene. It's a famous chazal. Personal hygiene. They used to give courses in high school, personal hygiene. They don't do it anymore. I don't know why. But they. What? Not anymore. What's it called?
Hygiene.
Just hygiene.
Hygiene in college.
Okay, they don't have this course anymore.
No,
it doesn't exist. Not in my time, and not.
The curriculum. They take hygiene for a test.
So the where does it come from? Chazal when hafeichba to kulaba. Every single thing, every single idea is in Chazal, and this idea of hygiene, the need for a person to be always at his best, to look good, to smell good, to appear at his best, it comes from this pasuk call. Everything that Hashem has done in this world, Paul Hashem lemaneu, is to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The words of the Gemara is Roichetz Adam Panav. A person should wash his face, Yada V'raglav B'chol Yom. Okay, not once a week, B'chol Yom, every single day, B'shvil kivoid kainai, for the honor of his creator. Shenemar ki betzelim elokim also esa, the man is created in the image of God. The oid daraya brios tevas oim baruch shakach alay belamo be yakidashim shemayim. Okay, he's going further and further. V'hu chavul hakadosh baruch hu sheyitzur of heim nikiim v'yafim. It is an honor for hakadosh baruch hu that his creatures are clean and beautiful. Shenemar kol poal Hashem lemaneu. Everything that Hashem has created in this world is for His honor. So when one human being looks at another, he's looking at the Tzelem Elokim, he's looking at the image of God, and if Hashem has created everything in this world is for Hashem's honor, every human being is Hashem's ambassador. And Hashem's ambassador has to look his best. Goyim also, absolutely. A goy also is called the Tzelem Elokim. There is such an opinion that says that after Matan Torah, the goyim lost the Tzelem Elokim. That's a yeah, here's from Chol, the Midrashic idea. But we don't apply that today. Today, everyone is Tzelem Elokim.
There might be different gradations
of Tzelem Elokim. Okay, but this is another very popular chazal that is tied into this pasuk, a very powerful pasuk. So we'll finish with this concludes. So just the basic gist is lamaneu means one of two things. Either it means praise or it means testimony. And all the various midrash that we've quoted, they focus in on one of these two translations for the word lemaneu. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Toyavas Hashem kol gvalev. It is an abomination to view any arrogant heart. All arrogant hearts. Gvalev. A heart that is uplifted. Yod liyod lo yinoke. Hashem will not spare him from what he deserves. Let's see the Mitzvahs. Pasuk Hey Yod Liyod Miyadoy Shel Makom. The first Yod is Hashem's Yad, and the second Yad Liyod means the man's Yad, the Yad of the arrogant heart. Miyadoy Shel Makom Yavoy Hagamul will come punishment. Liyad Hamechuyev to the man that is guilty of arrogance. V'lo Yinoke Mimenu, he will not be forgiven. He will not be forgiven Mimeno. Kilo Soshuv Reikom, Hashem's hand will not turn away empty handed. Hashem will not be free from Hashem's vengeance for arrogance. Rashi says the same thing. Yad liyad lo yinokem biyad liyad liyad. That means from Hashem's hands to man's hands, bolo gmul will come punishment. To whom will come the punishment? Will come the bolo gmul govayat libo, will come the punishment for arrogance. Okay, now a few things. Number one, the Gemara. This is the Gemara Masechta Sota. The Gemara Masechta Sota says, "Kol Adam sheyesh boi gasay saruach kiilu oivav adazara." Okay, a person who is arrogant, it is equivalent to idolatry. And the Gemara quotes this pasuk. It says here, arrogance givalev is called a to'eva. To'evas Hashem kol gvalev. And it says by Avodah Zarah, probably the most popular pasuk from Avodah Zarah, le'savi so'eva el be'tzech. Not bringing an abomination to him. So what's basically gzera shava? It's a drush. Not a real gzera shava, but it's a gzera shava. Al derech drush. To'eva. Arrogance equivalent to bringing an idol into your home. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ki ilu kofar biker." It's even worse. It's even worse than idolatry, because idolatry you could have two: you worship Hashem, and you worship an idol. But gaiva is a rejection of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Kofar boikar shenemar. We have another pasuk in Devarim Perek Ches where a person's heart, what is the result of having of arrogance? It leads to forgetting the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shachachto es Hashem Elokecha. That's exactly what it says over here. It says kol gvalev. Arrogance will lead to forgetting Hashem.
Well, gaiva is a kind of self-worship. So ego.
Yeah. But you can worship yourself and you can worship Hashem also. You can shtei reshuyos. So here the Chazal the Pasuk is telling you it doesn't work like that. That there's only one room. There's only room for one God. There's only one room for one God, and that's going to be, if a person is arrogant, it's going to be himself. It's not going to come join us.
Jews.
Okay. So what's your name? What's your name?
Desmo.
Desmo? Thank you very much for all you do. We appreciate all you do. Thank you very much. Okay. Yod li yod lo. So let's go now to the next pasuk. Yod. Yod li yod lo yinoke. What? Don't worry. I'm not worried. Yod li yod lo yinoke. Okay. Yod li yod yinoke. Now this we did this once before. This is a long Gemara Masechta Sota. The Gemara says, what exactly does it mean yod li yod? The Gemara is intrigued by this expression. So let's go through it very quickly. Omar Rav. The first interpretation of the Gemara is, we take the word Yad and we find the pasuk in Tanakh where the word Yad is used, and we make a connection to teach us something important. And the Gemara first starts with the following halacha: Kol haba al eshes ish, afilu hiknohu hakadosh baruch hu shamayim va'aretz ki Avraham avinu d'chsev harimosi yadi el Hashem kelalyon konei shamayim va'aretz. Nevertheless, lo yinake medina shel gehenim. This drush is telling you that a person is nichshol in the sin of arayos. He is ba al eshes ish. He's nichshol in this avera, even if he is as great as no one less than Avraham Avinu, the greatest of the great. People can make a mistake and think, listen, I'm a great person, I'm the Gadol Hadar, I could do a little avera, so my zuchuyos will compensate for my sins. So that's a very simple idea, that there's no such thing as compensation. Person is punished for the bad and he is rewarded for the good, and should no one not make that mistake, and there are no exceptions, even if the person is as great as Avraham Avinu. Why Avraham Avinu? It says here in the pasuk Yod, it says by Avraham, Harimosi Yodi Lekel Elyon Konei Shamayim Varetz. According to Chazal, this pasuk captures the greatness of Avraham Avinu. This itself is a very fascinating limud. If you want to summarize the accomplishments of Avraham Avinu, it's this pasuk. Avraham Avinu, his essence, his legacy. If you have to summarize Avraham Avinu's legacy in this world, this medrash is teaching us, it's the pasuk, Harimosi Yadi Lekel Elyoin Koinei Shamayim Varetz. I have lifted up my hand, my life work is to reveal this something called a Kel Elyon, who is the creator of Shamayim Varetz. It's an amazing insight. If so, you give an assignment to a top-notch Talmidei Chachamim and tell them to define Avraham Avinu in one sentence, how many people would come up with this pasuk? And the Medrash is telling us, this is it. This is the summary, the life summary of Avraham Avinu. He worked with all of his might and koach. He raised up his hand, Lekel Elyon, to the mighty, powerful God, who is the Koine Shemaim. Koine, the one who created the heaven and the earth. Avraham Avinu, the whole world, did not believe in God. He taught the world as a creator. This is his essence. Now along comes the Medrash and tells us, look at our pasuk, Yod Li Yod. The first Yad means, even though human being has achieved this Madrega, he is equivalent to Avraham Avinu, Lo Yinoke. He's not going to get away with anything. Hashem is not Michael, a human being, for any sin. He'll get what you deserve. And the example given over here is Gilui Arayos. Now, the Gemara is not very happy with this interpretation, because if this really what it means, it should say Yodi. Yodi liyod lo yinoke. If we want to make a gzeres shava to Avraham Avinu, we should say Harimosi Yodi lekel elyon. Here the pasuk says Yod liyod. So the pasuk should say Toyev Hashem kol gvalev Yodi liyod lo yinoke. Even if a person has achieved the madrig of Yodi, like Avraham, doesn't matter. Liyod, Hashem will send his way punishment to his hand, to be destroyed, to be punished, lo yinoke, because Hashem is a God that does not forgive. So the word is not the correct word. Therefore, Amri Deber Rabbi Shila, because he was not happy with the interpretation, he has a new interpretation, and he says, even if a human being is on the madrig of Moshe Rabbeinu, why Moshe Rabbeinu? Because by him he received the Torah, mimino Eish Das Lamo. In his right hand was a fiery law. Now Mimino means in his right hand. That's Yod. That's the Yad. Okay, that's okay. That's another pasuk. The Rebbe Bishu doesn't focus on that. So he gives the same exact idea. Lo yinaka medina shel again. That's very interesting. What he's according to the Rebbe Bishila, we're not focusing on the greatness of Avram Avinu who revealed Hashem's existence. We're focusing on a great man Moshe Rabbeinu who achieved in bringing the Torah down to this world. Even a person who reaches that madrego lo yinaka, he will not be spared from Gehenim if he is nichshol in an avera. Now the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan was not happy with this interpretation. Why not? Because that's not what it says. It should have then said Yod Miyod. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah in his hand Miyod from the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this really is a link to Moshe Rabbeinu. The proper gears should have been Yod Miyot. That's not what it says. It says Yod Liyot. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan gives the final interpretation. What it means is a person that gives tzedakah privately. Yod Liyot. When no one is watching, no one knows. This is a tzaddik, gives tzedakah. It's anonymous. What greater mitzvah can there be in this world than giving tzedakah anonymously, yod liyod, from your hand to the hand of the poor man? Still in all, a person should not fool himself and think that he's going to be zoicha, he's going to be spared from the dina shel gehenim. He will have to give an accounting for his averos, lo yinokeh. If you take this medrash from the Gemara from a distance, it's amazing. The Gemara is telling us. The Gemara really appears to telling us who's on the higher madrega. You would think that in this world, in this day and age, it's impossible to reach greatness. Who's great? Either Avraham Avinu or Moshe Rabbeinu. Along comes the Gemara. The Gemara says, no, there's a person that's even greater in one respect than Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's a simple person who does a mitzvah. No one is watching, no one knows, there is no expectation for reward. It's Yod Liyod. Gift is given from his hand to the hand of the poor man, and even though he's a very great person, nevertheless, Lo Yinokeh, if he has done Navera, Lo Yinokeh Medina Shel Gehenim. Okay, that concludes this medrash. Let's go to the next pasuk. Next pasuk, another famous pasuk, Bechesed Yemes Yichu Paravon, Uviyiras Hashem Sur Meira. To Chesed and Emes, sin is forgiven. Even though we said in the previous pasuk that Gvalev is a Toeva, Yod Liyod Lo Yinokeh, you can do all of the mitzvahs you possibly want, you're not going to be spared from Gehenim, yet there is a way to do tshuva. And part of the tshuva process is doing Chesed and Emes. Emes, the Gemara we'll see in a moment, means Torah, the study of Torah, Talmud Torah. Yechupar Avon has the koach to atone for sin. Uviyiras Hashem and to fearing Kodesh Baruch Hu Sur Meira, a person will prepare himself, will protect himself in the future from doing averus. Mitzudus pasuk vav bechesed ba'avur haChesed v'emes asher yaseh adam yechupar he'avon, sin will be forgiven. We will vad kishahu sur meira, provided that he turns away from ra ba'avur yiras Hashem v'lo miras abrios. So here he's telling us that it must be a sincere yiras shemayim. A person has to choose not to do averus because he's afraid of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not because he is afraid of man. Now it goes without saying that a person has to start off mitach shalei lishma bo lishma. Person is able to put safeguards in place where everything he does is in public, so that he should not be nichshol matev manoim. But ultimately, the highest madrega is not to averus, not because it's afraid of what people will say, but it's because he's doing it because he fears Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi v'yiras Hashem sur meira al yidei yiras Hashem sur meira. Okay, the Midrashim pretty much just say the same thing we just mentioned, that a person does Torah, Torah is Chesed, Emes is Torah, Pasuk in Mishlei says later on, Emes Kinei V'Al Timkar, Emes is Torah, and through Chesed and Torah, he will come to Yirah Shemam. We have here really all three middos of the Avos. Chesed is Avraham, Emes is Yaakov, and Yira is Yitzchak. What is so interesting is that it's not in order. You would expect Avraham, Chesed, Yitzchak is Yira, and Yaakov is Emes. So interesting is that it's not, there are different orders. We know the famous Chazal that when Mashiach, that Yimos HaMashiach, Hashem will say to Avram Avinu, Bonecha Chatu, your children have sinned and I have to destroy them. Avram will say, what do they do? Hashem will enumerate a list of Averos, and Avram will say, good, they deserve it. Hashem then goes to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, we skip. Yitzchak goes to Yaakov, and Hashem says, your children have sinned, what do they do? Hashem tells them, Yaakov says, no, so destroy them. Hashem then says, there's no wisdom in the old, and there's no seichel in the young. Avraham and Yaakov. Hashem then goes to Yitzchak, what do they do? So Yitzchak says, so what, big deal. Palgi olayu, palgi olach, it's a whole long Gemara. Hashem, he says, we'll split it.
What does that mean, palgi olach?
Whatever it means. I'll take care of it. We'll find a solution. It was Yitzchak that was Toveh. So what do you see? You see from this over here, there's a Madrega, there's a time when Yitzchak comes after Avraham and Yaakov. And that's really what's happening here in this part, because in this part, we deal with a person that has problems. Every Avera starts with Gaiva. That's a Chazal. Every Avera starts with me. It's Hashem. It's between me and you, Hashem. You don't want? I want. I have to do the Avera because I come first. Every Avera is Tevas Hashem. And that's the root cause of our trouble, Golos. And Yodli Yodlo Yinokeh. No matter how great we are, no matter what our accomplishments are in our generation, we've done incredible things in every generation, Hashem Lo Yinokeh. Hashem doesn't forgive for sins. If there are sins, it's going to be an accounting. How are we going to bring Mashiach? So this Pasuk is telling us what's going to happen. Hashem will first go to Avraham, to Chesed, and Avraham will say, forgive them, and Hashem will say, nope, can't forgive them. Hashem will then go to the MS, Yechupar Avon, go to MS Yaakov, who's MS, in order to bring atonement. It's not going to work. But ultimately, the Yiras Hashem Sur Meira, it will be through Yitzchak, who is the mead of Yira, he will be the one that will achieve for us the Sur Meira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take back his the Ra that is destined, that was meant to come upon us. Pasuk Zayin. Okay, this is a great pasuk. Every married man has to know this pasuk. You'll see why in a moment. Birtzos Hashem Darak Ha'ish, when man's ways are good, they find favor. Gam Oivav Yashlin Ito, his enemies make peace with him. The Mitzudos. Birtzos Kasher Yirtza Hashem Darak Ha'ish, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has satisfaction in the ways of man, B'yosam Yisharim, when man's ways are upright, Oz Gam Oivav, even his enemies Yashlin Imo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes that his enemies make peace with him. When we call Shekein Shlo Yisoiru Olav Oivim Chadoshim, Allah Haskam V'kama, he's not going to have new trouble. Okay, it's enough to deal with the old enemies. To make peace with them, certainly he's not going to have to suffer having any new enemies. Rashi, Birtzos Hashem Darak Ha'ish Gam Oivav Yashlim Ito, Yirtze Loi Sheyushlemi Mimo. Hashem will find favor in him. Hashem will have satisfaction in him to bring about, to cause his friends to find reason to make peace with him. Okay, now let's begin a long series of Midrashim. Who exactly is this enemy? So let me jump to the most favorite interpretation. The first interpretation comes Tzul Medrash Bereish Rabba. Okay, don't fall off your chair when I tell you this. Kasha Yirtz Hashem Darke Yish V'yosem Yisham Azay Gam Oivav Yaser Imo Shalom Umihu Zehanikre Oivo Shel Adam. Who is man's ultimate enemy? Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Rabbi Yochanan Omar Zo Ishtoi. His wife. His wife is his ultimate enemy. So, so when man is a tzaddik, when man's ways are acceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will cause that his wife will like him. His wife, what? Is it the other way around? If the wife is always good, it's the husband that makes the trouble, no? So the Zoish Hashnemar Oyve Ish Anshe Beis. So it's a pasuk. This is a pasuk in Micha. The enemies of man are the people of his home. Who is that? Who is the Beis? In Beis Ella Ishtoi. So a good relationship to have a good relationship with one's wife, one has to be a tzaddik. Being a tzaddik, Mimela, everything falls into place. Ezer Kenegda, Zocha, Ezer, Loi Zocha Kenegda. Okay, so, now I don't know what the significance of this part of what the Medrash here is telling us. What it says, there was a Maisha Hayu, where a woman, she went and she complained about her husband to the government. She said that her husband's a bad guy because she wanted to get rid of him. So the government, so the king chopped off his head, the husband, and then chopped off the wife's head. Why? What right do you have to complain against your husband? It's very good. You told me Lashon Hara about your husband, that he's cheating on his taxes, so I'll punish him. But you're a bad wife. You're also guilty. Because a good wife doesn't snitch on her husband. Therefore, if you snitched on your husband, you're not good for me either. You'll snitch on your husband, you'll snitch on me to my enemies. And so we see here, okay, I don't know what the significance over here is, that this person, whatever, Oiva, that's what the first medrash. Okay, the next medrash is something a little more simplistic, is the Nachash. The Nachash is man's greatest enemy. Why? Chava, Nachash was the one that, the Nachash one that caused Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and it gave to Adam. So the Nachash, in fact, it says in the Pasuk, V'eva Oshis ben Cho ben HaNachash, Hashem says, I will bring hatred between you and the Nachash. Eva Oshis ben Cho vein Harisha uvein Zara Cho vein Zara. Okay, then the Midrash goes on to give some fascinating stories. There was a Maisha Chayli, there was a snake, and the snake was living, a domestic snake was living, maybe it was a poisonous snake, but it was living in the home, and he got used to the people. He was very friendly with the Balabayas. And then one day, an enemy snake penetrated the perimeter, broke into the home, and started eating shachal, cress. It seems from this medrash that snakes love cress, and it ate the cress, and as it ate the cress, it vomited, and poison came out from its fangs into the shachal. And the Bnei Bayis were unaware that the food has been poisoned. But the other snake in the home was watching, was observing that the food was poison. So what did the snake do? The snake went and it filled up, it used its tail to fill up this dish with dirt. It took its tail and kicked up dirt to ruin the shachal so that the Bnei Bayis should not eat and be poisoned from the food. So the Chazal, when they saw this happen, they applied. They said, wow, you have in your home a poisonous snake, and the poisonous snake saw another poisonous snake poison your food, and the poisonous snake number one goes and kicks up dirt in order to save the family. Chazal observed this mice, and they said about this family are the family of Tzad. And therefore, it was fulfilled upon them the pasuk in Mishlei, "Birtzois Hashem Darkei Ish." Hashem has satisfaction with the people in this home. Gam Oivav Yashlem Ito, the ultimate enemy of man, the Nachash Hakadmonim, makes peace, even went so far to save this man's life. Okay, then there are other examples of dogs. Okay, a kelef, man, a dog is considered to be man's, I don't know why we call a man, it's a man's enemy, man's best friend, but a dog is also man's greatest enemy. It could be, there's a Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok says, why is a dog called man's best friend? Because all of the creatures, you have to study if this is really true, Rav Tzadok really says this, and what the deeper meaning of this, and what this meaning is, all of Hashem's creatures, the one that is the least spiritual, is a dog. Every single creature in this world, to some degree, microscopic degree, recognizes, even with the world of Hester Panim, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, what is man? Man is a nothing. Just like a creature is a servant to Hashem, a human being is also a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So animals, v'derech klal, don't have much respect for human beings. They may be afraid of them, but they don't have much respect. A dog is the least spiritual. A dog does not sense that there is a creator. There is a Ribbono Shel Olam. So when a dog looks at the world, he doesn't see God, he sees man. And man appears to be in charge. Therefore, man is God. And if man is God, it's kedai, it's worthy of serving man. And that is why a dog is man's best friend. You have a dog is extremely loyal, a dog takes care of you, he protects you, he'll give up his life for you. But on the other hand, why is the dog protecting you? Because the dog is your greatest enemy. Because the dog doesn't realize there's a God. He thinks you're God. And your entire purpose in this world is to come to recognize there is a God. So in this respect, a dog is man's greatest, man's best friend. But it's only man's best friend because man is man's greatest enemy. So this is what the Medrash says. Rabbi Meir Oimer, Oivov Hamash Lemito Ze HaKelef. This is a Kelef. Oivov. Shocking in this society, right? Go tell this Medrash to the non-Jewish world. Dog is man's best friend. In the Medrash, we read a pasuk. Gam Oivov Yash Lemimo. Who is Oivov? The enemy, the ultimate enemy of man? A dog. Man's greatest enemy. Eluv elu divrei Elokim chayim. I don't see the chayim man, but in Chazal, there's no spirituality. So the man is God. He serves man. And what's the story? I don't have to even repeat the Medrash to tell you, but there are many stories in the media where dogs give up their life for the imamish, give up their life for their master. And he gives over here a couple of stories where there's stories where a house was poisoned, a snake came in the house and poisoned the food, and the dog saw what happened. The dog was barking, and telling the family, don't eat. And the family refused. They didn't understand what's the dog so upset about. And they were about to eat. And the very last moment, the dog jumped in the jaw, the dog ate the food and died. And then they realized that the dog gave up its life for the family. What more can you possibly want? Suicide mission. It's on behalf of man. Why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspire the dog to do that? That's the L'malam Derech HaTeva. Because of this pasuk, Birtzos Hashem Darkei Ish. When man's ways are pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gam Oyev Yash Tamito, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Machshava into the dog to give up its life on behalf of the master. Okay, there are some gruesome stories. I'm not going to go into the details. You can look in the Midrashim. There's one story I don't want to say. You'll see it later on. You can come by. I'll show it to you. Okay, there are other Midrashim. They tie this into the Ishei HaTanach. For who can you imagine are people who made peace with their enemies? There's a lot to be said about this. Because we don't make in modern times, we're not in the business of making peace with our enemies, unfortunately. But Avraham Avinu made peace with Avimelech. He made a bris. Hashem criticized him. Why did you make a bris? Li ulanini ulanechti. Some learn the Akedah was a result of making a bris. You can make peace, but just because you make peace, you don't have to make a bris. You don't have to promise for a number of generations. But we do find the Chazal to apply this concept of making peace with enemies to Avraham, who made peace with Avimelech. Ze Avraham, he was the ultimate individual for whom we can apply Britzos Hashem Darkei Ish, and he made peace with Oivav, his enemy, Ze Avimelech. Vayhi ba'eis lahi v'yem Avimelech ufichol sa'at sevo el Avram elukim imecha b'chol asher ta'oise. And let's make peace. Another example is Yaakov. Who did Yaakov Avinu make peace with? His two enemies, Lavan and Esav. He met Esav. Vayishlach Yaakov alachem al Esav. He met him, they kissed, and they made up. He went on his way, he went to Seirah, and we never hear about Esav anymore in the Torah. There was no confrontation between Yaakov and Esav. They made peace, that's pretty good.
They weren't allies.
They weren't allies, but at least they weren't killing each other.
They made up to leave each other.
What more can you possibly want? What more can you possibly want in this world? And who else did he make peace with? Lavan. Lavan Harami. Lavan wanted to kill him. Hashem had to come to Lavan the night before and tell him, don't touch, don't do anything to Yaakov Avinu. Lavan says, Yesh Dol Yadi, Lasos L'choro, I can do whatever I want to you. But Hashem came to me and told me not to do. Yaakov Avinu was Zoch, Beritzos, Hashem Darke, Ish is easy, he refers to Yaakov Avinu. Ish Tan, Yoshev Aholim, he made peace with his two enemies. Okay, let's go to another Pasuk. Okay, before we go further, then of course, what's the simple interpretation that I left out the most obvious medrash? It's not so obvious because over here he calls from a Zohar. Who is your ultimate enemy? Your Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, a person is a good man. Hashem causes the Yetzer Hara to make peace with him. And in fact, not only does he make peace, he helps you. A person has the koyach to use the Yetzer, to channel the koyachos of the Yetzer Hara, all for avoidas Hashem. Famous Chazal, you come every Friday night, come on Masechta Shabbos, end of Masechta Shabbos, Friday night, you're scored by two malachim. One good malach and a bad malach. And if a person comes home and he finds that the table is set and the candles are lit and the bed is spread, so the good malach gives a bracha to Adam, and the bad malach has to answer amen. The bad malach has to make peace with man. If Hashem is the opposite, then he has two enemies. Yeah, the good malach has to turn against him. He has to also answer amen to the bracha. Okay, but that is the message. Okay, the next one more passage just to finish up. Toiv me'at b'tzdaka me'rov tvuos below mishpat. This we had this idea many times. It's good to have a small amount b'tzdaka. Tzdaka here does not mean charity. Tzdaka over means tzedek v'yosher. To earn a few dollars honestly is much, much better than an abundance tvuos, an enormous amount below mishpat that's earned dishonestly. A theme that we've learned so many times in the Siddur's Tov. Yoyser Toiv Hoin Ma'at, a small degree of wealth. Haba B'tzedek Uv'yosha Meharbe Tuos Hanesafim B'loy Mishpat Kiyim B'gezel Loosh. It only came about through theft and extortion. And there is here no Rashi on this Pasuk. And with this we will stop.